So,
how was your experience?
How was
it?
Awesome.
Well, good. Well, questions or comments or sharings? We'd love to hear.
Ryan, would you share your what happened with you? Because she had a little variation on what often happens. But I asked her to share it because it's these things happen, and I think it's interesting. So.
Yes.
Or just stand. You can just stand.
If you want to come
up. I had this problem, and I've been having this problem for a while. I have accent, and sometimes when I do public speaking, I'm expressing myself or any kind of conversation I'm having. When people come up to my face and say, "You have accent," that's it. It would put me into stupor. I wouldn't speak. I would get lost completely. All my world would be like, everything's apart. I can't put myself together to continue conversation. And sometimes very difficult at work or somewhere else. So, and I noticed that I would go into my shop and I would be very kind of shy. It's kind of like obstacle for continue progressing. So I picked on that issue and as we talk, I realized it wasn't my throat. It was right here, so I pulled it out, and it didn't want to move anywhere. It was going like this. Like, I want to head back into my place. So we sent it out, and we did a spin, and I kind of like visualized the bag, white, long, open bag, and as it was going towards me, it started dissipating. It's gotten so large and it's dissipated, and I felt a wave. It was a wave. But the really funny thing, when I pulled it out from my throat, I started burping. And I was so uncomfortable. I said, "Excuse me, I don't feel comfortable right now because I'm burping. I don't know what's going on with me." So, and I was like burping one burp after another, and then usually it never happens to me. Wow. So I was like. But the good thing, I didn't see anything to replace that area. I just felt like I have to step into my vibe because it's my environment. I have to feel comfortable and just free. I don't have to.
You stepped into this feeling of a wave, and you said it felt very different.
Very different, yeah. Because I don't need anything in my throat anymore. I don't need to put anything up there. It was something. It was obstacle. It was foreign. It was not mine.
Something blocking. So
yeah.
Thank you for that
story.
Yeah,
thank you.
But I think there's several things about. One is, you know, so often you'll spin it and you get a gift and you might send it out and get even another gift. And what you did is you got something that just kind of came in, faded away, but it felt there's a feeling there. So that's another way things can happen. Again, it's your own unconscious mind making this imaginative thing up. The other thing is sometimes when you go through a change, you will have an autonomic nervous system response of a release. Your autonomic nervous system has two parts to it, parasympathetic and sympathetic. Sympathetic's holding on. When you're stressed out, it's like you're holding on to something,
that's
right?
That's what kicks in the fight or flight reflex when you get stressed out. It's that that's getting kicked off.
And when something becomes a pattern, you hold it in habitually. Often we're then in kind of, we're holding, so to speak. And sometimes when you go through a change, you get a release, and you get an autonomic nervous system release. So sometimes people will start yawning a lot.
Yeah.
You ever gone through a change and you start yawning like crazy?
Or hot? Did anybody get hot or felt some
heat? Another
warm
one, releasing heat.
Yeah.
Burping is really a good one because it's pretty deep visceral response when you get that. And often people's stomachs will move around, and you'll get that, and it's a release, so it's a good thing. Sometimes you go through a big change and you'll actually get like a little cold. It's like the toxins come out and stuff. So if you find yourself yawning or getting really hot or getting emotional for a second, you ever had something where you just get a kind of feeling, and it's that letting go. And so those are really good signs.
Kevin, you had a comment or a sharing.
I use this process a lot. And there's a lot of variations or little language things that you can basically play with it, because there's a lot of people that I've come across that basically say, "Well, is this kind of esoteric woo-woo? I'm not going to go with this beautiful gift that suddenly popped." So there's a play that I usually use for that. and that is to, rather than work with a gift that comes out, to, okay, what is the symbol that pops up for you? The trick is mostly to get that metaphor going, and that is one thing that I like to give, like, okay, so you can reword that or reframe it a little. Basically, look at the person you're working with and speak in their language, basically coming down to that again.
Good timing on this, because we're going to do something with the metaphorical part of this in a minute. So
we are. We'll be nice getting comment. Into the metaphorical and symbolic and archetype. So we paid him to say that. Thank you, Kevin. You set us up. Before we do move on to that, though, any other questions about how to do the process or
any other things to share?
Because sharings or
sharing is helpful because then people can be inspired by what happened with you.
Well, I thought that I was way more of a visual person, but when I was first asked to see the image of my thing, I was starting to get a little frustrated because I couldn't see it, and so I just like stopped trying to look for it, and then I felt what it was instead, and then I could see it, so I guess I'm...
So you felt it and then saw it.
Yeah. Which I was surprised.
Yeah, we'll talk about this later, but there's a thing called overlap of your senses, and that in and of itself is often a big change. One of the things that I was going to do with Chris when we first discovered this, I'm going to say, pull it out, and then change the image into something else. And, you know, if you have a headache and you pull it out and you see, like, you know, knotted up muscles or something, and imagine them just morphing into, a bird flying out over the sea, it often, the headache will go away. It's, you're representing it in a different channel. So sometimes if people say, you know, I don't make good images or I can't, you know, if you're an NLP-er, I'd suggest helping them do that, because if you can consciously do it, it's better. But everybody can do it, even if they think they can't. We can do a cognitive test right now to see if you're able to. How many of you can pick out your spouse or a good friend in a crowd? Like you're at the airport. I mean, if I'm at the airport and I'm picking up Chris, how do I know it's her? What's required? I have to have an image of her in my mind somewhere and then match up who's on the outside, right? If I didn't, what would happen? I'd go to the airport and go, are you my spouse?
Well, I don't know, because I don't make pictures either.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why don't you come home with me?
You're kind of cute.
I mean, who knows what you could end up with. So. So, so we can all do it. You know, how many of you can find your home after your way home after work or school or whatever? Usually. Some of you didn't stop somewhere on the way home. But what do you have to be able to do that?
Visualize.
You have to have the map of the way home in your visual apparatus already. Over 70% of your ability to pattern is visual. And so if you didn't have the ability to see things with your mind, you wouldn't be able to function at all.
And to jump on to what Kevin said, there's one other language pattern that can make a difference when working with people, which is sometimes somebody will pull it out and you'll say, which way is it spinning? And they'll say, it isn't. And you might ask them, you know, what you can say is, well, gee, if it were to spin, which direction would it be? And that seems to always take care of it. Or you could say, well, just pretend. You know, if it were spinning, which direction would it be? And I don't know how many of these we've done with people, but that, it's never been an issue. I think if you really believe it and you're feeling congruent about it, then they're going to feel good about it too. Yeah. So with that, Christine had a question or a comment, and then Dana, go ahead.
Well, I just want to share a little bit about my experience. Aaron was the person who guided me, and I just want to thank you very much for the process he did. He did a wonderful job. I was very emotional in the first place. So basically, I started with my tummy, and I said, well, it's just my emotion and my sadness. But behind the sadness, it was anger. And he said, okay, well, let's take this anger out. And I tried to concentrate because I'm very visual. And close my eyes, and in my eyelids, it was just red. I was like, wow. So I said, it's red in my eyes. He said, okay, so take that red out. And re-spin the whole thing. And he said, when that red is out, what is it then? And he said, I don't know. Then I saw like thunderstorm, like flashes and stuff. And woo! This is like I took a pill or something. And then for some reason, it started coming down, and I moved my head, and it was green. It's like, oh, now it's green. And he asked me, what is the symbol of green? And I said, well, it's a calming feeling because I like green and it's very peaceful. So okay, we thought we were done with the process. And then suddenly he asked me about future pain. But I said, wait, there's something in my throat. I said, okay, you want to spin that? And I said, sure, I can spin that. And then what's the color? Well, it's like brown. So what shape is like a circle? Okay, take it out. And we took it out, and it was about words. And he said, okay, start spinning on the whole thing, and it was like, poop. It's like, whoa. So he said, spinning in the other direction, like, well, it's going down the toilet. So it was just a metaphorical thing, and we started laughing about it. And we tried to do the gift, because he forgot about the gift. He started laughing and he forgot about it. Like, wait, we have to bring the gift. So anyway, I said, okay, well, let's bring the gift. And I don't know exactly how you did the gift, but you guide me. And the gift was basically, it came in a flash of a second. It was just the words. So the negative words came out, and those words were words that I couldn't say it before, because they were stuck inside me, and I couldn't say them. So the words that came, the words came, but it was in a book. It's like, oh, of course, the Bible. So it's the words that I have to speak. And it was such a beautiful experience.
Oh, yay!
Thank you. Good job, Erin.
Well, she doesn't seem so anxious anymore, does she?
Yeah.
So one more comment, and then we'll move on.
A couple of things we want to add,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we'll add. Dana, you had wanted to share
Dana?
Something.
So I want to know, because of my own experience, if it's effective when this technique, when it's something that is more deeply rooted, because, you know, of course I felt amazing and everything, but there's a sense of sadness.
Ah, there's residue there.
There's residue,
yes.
Is what we call that.
You know what, what would you recommend doing with the residue?
Spin it out.
Because sometimes you get that, and there's still, and when we have problems in life, there are different aspects to it. So sometimes you get one aspect, but there's still a different aspect.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have one experience and form a whole bunch of limiting beliefs. But
you just spin out the different aspects.
Yeah, so if there's still some unsettledness, spin that out. But as you can see with Cezanne on the video, I mean, you don't get many issues deeper than that kind of trauma that she had. And then multiple traumas later, not being able to really talk about it with anybody. So that was... That's a pretty deeply seated thing. When we were first doing this, word got out about it in the NLP world, and we were invited to keynote the international conference in England and then also in Belgium. And so I went to Belgium, and I wanted to demonstrate this process that Chris did a little while ago, the basic process. So I invited somebody up, and I said, what is it you want to work with? And she said, well, I've got, you know, I'm just depressed most of the time. I realize that I'm no good and I shouldn't be alive anymore. And I'm going, okay.
And this was to a group of therapists, so all the therapists
Yeah, in Europe there are a lot of therapists involved.
Yeah.
So we spun it out, and I was really gratified that it worked so well. Because at the end she went, I think I am I'm okay. And she was such a dramatic shift. And I talked to her later about it, and she just said, I let go of something. And she had the kind of parasympathetic response of just getting really hot. She kept going, she had to go like this for a while. But it's so, it's, I don't think the size of the issue is the matter. But if there's residue, spin it out.
And one other thing I want to add to that is in NLP, there's the presupposition that behind every issue or symptom is a positive intention. And I know a lot of you have learned about positive intention. And as we move through the rest of today and tomorrow, we've made some additions into how to do this. And one of them is adding in the idea of positive intention, which we'll visit later. But that's one thing, too, is you could go for the positive intention behind the sadness. And then once you get that, pull that out and spin it out. But better than that, we'll show you specifically how to do that because we have a technique that incorporates positive intention, which is also a key element of the more advanced way of doing it. You just learned the basic way, but you'll start learning a progression of how to do it more advanced.
On bigger and bigger issues.
On bigger too. And bigger and very deep issues. Horacio.
I guess the first few weekends we learned some basic things like taking somebody from a present state or a stuck state to a desired state, maybe having them think of resources from past experiences. But this is a pretty elegant way to make change. And so I'm just wondering, is this kind of, should we think of this as sort of an evolution of NLP that you would more likely use this than some of the primitives, the earlier things that we taught us? Or how do you think about when you
I probably use this as much as anything, even though most of the people that come to see me are wanting to change really deep core beliefs and that kind of thing. So we've developed those kind of tools as well. But that I do this all the time with people. And you know the good news is if you do it and it doesn't work, well, you haven't lost much of anything. But you're really trusting the person's own imagination and their own unconscious mind to be able to do it. And tomorrow we'll go over the elements of why we think it works. But yeah, in a sense, it is elegant. One of the things we did for a couple of years is we trained all of the clinical staff at a psychiatric hospital for children. And later they told us that the therapists were telling us that was a tool they used more often than anything else with the kids because it just worked so well. And the kids had fun with it. It wasn't like, you know, a lot of times people going into therapy start going, oh, no, you know. So I wouldn't think of dynamic spin as a therapy per se, but a therapist using it in that context can often be really successful, too.
And I'd like to build on that, which is the gifts of the NLP practitioner training is, first of all, you do get that important understanding of present state and desired state. You also build all of those rapport skills about how to really have deep rapport with people. You've learned a lot about how to communicate with people effectively. And so we find that the people that have had NLP training and they incorporate those communication skills, the rapport skills, the knowing how to get a well-formed outcome and go for present state and desired state, that's going to be make you all the more powerful in terms of incorporating dynamic spin release as well, because you'll be able to get in some cases deep rich outcomes, and you'll also be able to have the skill set to work with some of people's deepest life issues.
Well, you know, Marilyn was working with me on something that wasn't working, and I think that, you know, all this experience with NLP skills, she could see the tension in my shoulders, she could see the body language, and she could say, okay, there's something wrong.
So Marilyn could see the, using her sensory acuity.
That something wasn't working in that.
Yeah.
In the spin, and that we needed to do something else with it or, you know, go somewhere else. So it was all this other background that we've gotten that told her, okay, we need to not just keep doing what we're doing the way we're doing it.
Yeah.
And then came to something much bigger than what I was expecting. Just to say also, what I was trying to spin out in that situation is probably something that was protecting me. And so we did it in a different environment where it would be okay.
Nice.
Yeah, excellent. So you found the positive purpose of it.
Yeah.
You found the positive, nice job. You found the positive purpose with it.
And with that, we do probably, like Tim said, use this more than anything with ourselves and with others. So it's a great tool.
The nice thing is you can do it with yourself, too. And that's one of the... So you don't always need somebody to help you, guide you through something. A couple of things that we want to point out. The idea, originally when we did this, we'd spin it and let it go, and a gift would form, and we'd bring in the gift and whatever that meant. But one day, early on in this whole thing, one of our, a person was helping with our training was this wonderful gentleman who just died a couple of months ago. He was in his late 70s, and he'd been around NLP since it began, so he'd come and assist at our trainings. And he had, among other things that he did, he was a professional piano player. He's a jazz piano player and a piano tuner. And he was getting arthritis in his little finger. And he said it really hurts. And so he's having to play the piano like this, which he was able to do, but of course, if you think about how challenging that might be. So he came to Chris, he said, do you think this dynamic spin would work on helping this arthritis? And so Chris said, we'll give it a try. And she had him pull out the pain and the difficulty and put it out there and spun it. And she said, what'd you get? And he said, it looks like my finger and it's all better. So she said, I'll bring it in. He said, no, I think I want to send it out on an adventure.
And I was very nervous about the ecology of that and taking a... But he was a master practitioner. He had been involved in NLP for almost 20 years. And so I just trusted him. And so he went ahead and he sent the healed finger out on a mission. And when it came back, the gift, he had a beautiful diamond ring on the finger. And what the significance of that was that he needed to allow himself to shine. And so that was what the finger was kind of holding him back from doing that. So he brought that in, and that was an incredibly powerful healing. About a couple of years later, we were telling this story. He was in the class, and he stood up and showed everyone his finger, and it was completely straight, and he could play the piano again. The reason why Tim told you that is that's where we got the idea to take the part and send it out on an adventure was from our dear friend Tom Gorley. So
and get more.
We always like
resources.
To give him permission, especially since he's just passed away. We want to always give him attribution for that part of the process.
By the way, if any of you know people that might be interested in taking the practitioner training, he left in his will
a scholarship
for that. So
for each year for. As long as
I don't know how much it is yet because the lawyer hasn't told us, but we did get a letter from the lawyer saying he'd left that. So if you know somebody that is in need and doesn't have much money and they, you know, they would benefit the world, let them know to call us about that.
So what we'd like to move on.
I have one more thing.
Yes.
One more thing, just because it'll come up rarely, but occasionally. One time I had somebody take something out, and they could see it, and it was this all gunky thing, and they spun it, and it disappeared. And I said, what's there? And nothing was there. And she said, oh, no, I got nothing. And I thought, you know, I thought, I hadn't had that happen yet. And but I suddenly realized, well, nothing's a lot better than the problem you had, right? And she went, yeah. So I said, send that nothing out. And I've had that happen maybe a dozen times since then. And you said that it comes back, usually it always comes back as something else. So don't... If you get nothing, it doesn't mean it's not working. It just means that your unconscious mind's going, well, we let go of that one. We'll send out the nothing and see what comes back.